very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself this morning, and in this beautiful land of the brave, good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. My name is Mike Koshavedi, and you have tuned in to Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So the show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sure to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So it's the 15th of April, 2025. So let's look at what happened on this day in Africa. So on the 15th of April, in 1947, the Mau Mau movement officially began in Kenya. This armed insurgency was a pivotal moment in Kenya's struggle for independence, characterized by act of resistance, guerrilla warfare, and widespread mobilization against the British colonial rule. So, and on the same day in 1958, the first Conference of Independence African States was held. This gathering was a significant milestone in the Pan-African movement, fostering unity and collaboration among newly independent African states or African nations. So on April 15, 1959, African Freedom Day was declared. So this day symbolizes the progress of liberation movement in Africa and the determination of the people to free themselves from the foreign domination and exploitation. However, in 1963, the date was changed to May 25 to commemorate the founding of the Organization of African Unity, now known as the African Union. So today it is celebrated as the Africa Day on May 25th, symbolizing the continent collective liberation and unity. So, and on the very same day, the 15th of April in 1996, South Africa broadcasted the first live hearing of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission Human Rights Violation Committee. So this event marked a significant step in the nation's journey towards healing and addressing the atrocities committed during the apartheid era. So, and 2023, on the 15th of April in 2023, violent clashes erupted between the Sudanese armed forces, the SAF, and the paramilitary rapid support forces, the RSF, in Sudan, which these are still actually continue fighting. This conflict resulted in the displacement of more than 12.5 million people, exacerbating existing challenges such as ongoing conflict, disease outbreaks in that country, economic and political instability, and climate emergency in that country. So those are some of the events that happened on the 15th of April in the history of Africa. So what is our thought for the day today? The thought for the day: pride comes before a fall. pride comes before a fall. So the proverb means that excessive pride, arrogance, or overconfidence often lead to failure, embarrassment, and downfall. So it serves as a cautionary reminder that humility and self-awareness are essential to avoid making costly mistakes or misjudgment. So a leader who refuses to listen to feedback due to arrogance may make decisions that harm their position or organization. So this saying is a reminder to remain grounded even in success. So our thought for the day, pride comes before a fall. So very good morning to you if you're just joining us this morning, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. So our time is about 40 minutes past the hour of 7, and when we come back, we get into our first item on the show.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Welcome back to Unpacking Today, and thanks for joining us this very, very good. How's the weather? How's the weather actually where you are? So it's becoming a little bit chilly in the morning, but as usual on this side of the world, once it's around, let's say for example, around 10, 11, you start burning already. So yeah, it's quite a good, beautiful morning so far. So how is the weather where you are? Is it still raining, or the rain has stopped a little bit? So, but it's slowly by slowly. I think winter is starting to creep in a little bit. So good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So now there is a fascinating article from the, billionaires.com, billionaire.africa, and this is a leading news platform dedicated to profiling African wealthiest individuals, so profiling the African wealthiest individual and their contribution now to the economic development across the continent. So our discussion this morning is looking at the Namibia's top five richest people in 2025, you know, according now to the billionaires dot Africa. So who are the top five richest people in Namibia? Who are the Namibian top five richest people in 2025? You probably know some of them already. So, and who are they? So we're going to find out who are they. And particularly, I would like to look much more. I have to do some dig up a little bit to just dig up a little bit about who they are and their wealth and influence, and how their wealth and influence actually has shaped our economy. So what we're looking at it, so these are people that, you know, they become who they are because of the support of the Namibian nation. So now, what are their influence and what have they done to really shape and influence our economy? So that's a little bit. Yeah, I just for maybe appreciate. So what we're going to do is maybe looking at what they have done and appreciate what they have done, or also looking at, you know, have they done enough? Maybe some of them, have they done enough to actually grow the Namibian economy? So these are the most, these are Namibia's top five richest people in 2025. Maybe in 2026 it will be you. So you never know. Or even later in the year, you never know. So, but for now, let's look at the top five richest people, Namibia top five richest people in 2025. So, according to the billionaire.africa, the combined net worth of Namibia top five wealthiest individual is as impressive as 300. This is now, this is actually in US dollars. It's 335 million million that US dollars. So with the leader of that pack build up a staggering 150 million alone. That means, okay, the one on top. So yeah, the billionaire of Africa looked at seven top Namibian top richest people in 2025, which is also including a lady that actually come at number seven, or number six. So, but me, I decided actually just to look at the top five. So that's what we're going to look at. But if you go to the billionaire Africa, billionaires.africa, there are also a woman there, part of the top richest people in Namibia. So yeah, so these business giants are shaping, as I said, are shaping the economic landscape by investing in diverse sectors such as retail, real estate, banking, agriculture. So they really, you know, shaping that economic landscape, Namibian economic landscape, and their strategic ventures not only drive significant financial growth, but also influence key industries across the country. So, who are they? Let's explore their stories. What are their stories and their impact, especially their impact on the on our economy. So that's what we are interested in more. So first on the list, of course you know who. Franz Aupa Indongo. Okay? He's our first. This is the richest, you know, man in Namibia. So with an estimated net worth of 150 million, 150 US dollar, 150 million US dollars. So Indongo is the richest Namibian. So he's one of Namibian most celebrated entrepreneurs. And he's really a true example of resilience and determination. So born in a rural area of Oshakati, in the northern part of Namibia. So Indongo started his journey with a really humble beginning. So in the late 1950s, he began his entrepreneurial journey with a brick making business. So he then reinvested his earnings into tailoring and retail, then laying actually the groundwork for what would become a massive business empire. So through strategic reinvestment and visionary mindset, so Indongo then expanded into various sectors, creating the Franz Indongo Group, which is actually a powerhouse in Namibia's economy. So now, today, his portfolio span into retail. you know, managing some of the country most successful supermarket, also in automotive, owners of the Ndongo Toyota, a leading name in Namibia's car sales industry, and also the real estate, also venturing into real estate properties in cities like Windhoek, you know, in Ndongo Garden. So one of the beautiful buildings in Windhoek. Wavish Bay, he has all the properties in Wavish Bay, Swakopmund, Chivarongo, and I think it's in Oshakati as well. So he also venturing in agriculture, investment in farming and food productions. So now Ndongo is also owns Continental Enterprises, which has interest in mining and fishing, showcasing his actually so his diversification strategy. So something that we most of the time asking the country to do. So maybe he is a typical example that maybe we can look at and learn the diversification strategy. So as one of the Southern African largest black-owned businesses, so the Francine Ndongo Group employs over 1,200 people, so contributing significantly to Namibia's job market and economic development. So with a net worth of around 150 million US dollar, Franz Alpine Ndongo is not only one of the Namibia wealthiest individual, but also an icon of what can be achieved through hard work, through perseverance, and actually willingness. If you see throughout his time, his, how he actually manages it, his willingness to adapt and grow. So his legacy, it's a beacon of inspiration for many aspiring entrepreneur, I guess, in Namibia, and actually not only Namibia and beyond. I think, you know, in Southern Africa. So and here is my thought. So on Mr. Ndongo. So and here now is my thought. Here is a thought to think about. So what lesson can you maybe an entrepreneur? Or young Namibians learn from Ndongo's journey. So what is that you can learn from Ndongo's journey? And perhaps more importantly, is our country creating environment where more stories like his can happen? So, yeah, something just to think about. So, yeah, who is our second richest person in Namibia? So who is our second richest person in Namibia? So we're going to come back from this. We will know who is this person is.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right. So our second richest Namibia, our second richest Namibian is the founder of Capricorn Group. Do you know who is he? The founder of Capricorn Group, Cross Brandt, with 80 million net worth of fortune. Yeah, so with 80 million. Million net worth of fortune. So this is US dollars, in US dollars, not Namibian dollars. So yeah, so Cross Brandt, the founder of the Capricorn Group, so born in Namibia, and his full name is actually Jacobus Christian Brandt. So, and Brandt's journey to financial prominence began in the 1980s. When he identified opportunity within a banking industry. So in 1982, He founded the Capricorn Group, which became one of the most influential financial services conglomerates in the region. So, and under his leadership, the Capricorn Group grew into a multifaceted enterprise that includes Bank Windhoek, one of Namibia's most prominent bank, and Bank Gaborone, also expanding now the group influence into Botswana. So, and also various ventures in insurance, asset management, and strategic investment in areas such as logistics and affordable housing. So, the group has played a pivotal role in financing, and this is very important, in financing as small and medium enterprises. So, also infrastructure development, and also some government project, fostering economic growth and innovation in Namibia. So, with a net worth of 80 million US dollar, Brent remained one of the Namibia's wealthiest individuals. Even after stepping down as the chairman in 2017, he retained a significant stake in Capricorn Group, valued at over 105. This is now Capricorn, 105 million, he continued to shape the Capricorn's strategic directions. Now, under Brent's guidance, Capricorn expanded its footprint beyond Namibia, so establishing operation in Botswana and Zambia as well. So this is a regional growth. When you look at this, this is now Namibian who have expanded business outside of the country. So it just reflects Brent's vision of positioning Namibia as a key player in Southern Africa financial ecosystem. So Coas Brent is more than a businessman. So he is, people you call trailblazers. You know what a trailblazer is? So the the pioneers, if you like, who has contributed to Namibia's economic transformation. He's actually known for his strategic foresight, a commitment to empowering SMEs, and focusing on regional integration. These are things that make him an enduring figure in Namibia's history of economic development. So even in retirement, his influence on Namibia's financial sector actually remain profound. So that's Coas Brent, our second richest person in Namibia in 2025. So, guess who is our third? So, I'm just giving you a little bit of a background of the richest people in our country and how they actually contribute, how they impact our economy, and who they are and what they have done so far to contribute to the growth. Economic growth and development in Namibia. So guess who is our third Namibia richest person in 2025? So should I put up a guess? It's easy for you to look up that and then you know who is. So I wanted to put up actually money that if you guess right, you get a prize. So, all right. So, Stephen Thiem. Stephen Thiem. So our richest person, our third richest person in Namibia, our Namibian richest person, our third Namibian richest person in 2025 is Stephen Thiem. Okay, with 70 million net worth. Okay, Stephen is the chairman or a chairman and the is a CEO of the Otlahave and List, Namibia's largest private employer. So he was born on February 8, in 1968, and Thiem has played a significant role in shaping Namibia's corporate landscape. So he began his career as an auditor for Deloitte and Touche in Luxembourg before joining O&L Group in 1998.
Omiaru odhuri kekucha iponga ivurithia omayovi umurongo na gali ya vidhiri kwa mwona mibi ya mvura aziko. Onkeme ondita ara onora oyo awike umaru wiponga watamba kumojira dhetumo pasanjika otashivurika saa shimpuyu mingashoka shumojira etohupitha omenyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Back your preconceptions of the...
All right, welcome back. So we're looking at Thiem. So he began his career as an auditor for Deloitte and Touche in Luxembourg before he joining O&L Group in 1998 as a general manager. So he became the CEO in 2002 following the death of his grandfather, Werner List, who was the son of O&L co-founder Carl List. So Werner List actually got a street, unless that has changed. You know that street, the street between the street that runs between, you know, Metropolitan and the Catholic Church. You know that street, Werner List. I think that street is actually Werner List Street, unless it has changed. It was Werner List, that street. So, under Thiem leadership, O&L Group has grown into a diversified conglomerate with interest covering, covering food production, beverages, farming, retail trade, property development, renewable energy, marine engineering, and so on, and hospitality. So the group contributed approximately 4% to Namibia's GDP and employees over 6,200 people. So it's one of the biggest private employer in the country. So Thiem is also credited with turning around struggling entities like the Winter Country Club, a resort and casino, and establishing the Development Bank of Namibia in 2004. So he has received recognition for his contribution to Namibia's business sector, including being awarded the most distinguished order of Namibia, so first class, on Heroes Day in 2014. So, yeah, Thiem is considered one of the most influential figures in Namibia due to his commitment to corporate governance and fostering strategic partnerships such as the joint ventures between O&L and global companies like Heineken. So what set Thiem apart is his focus on sustainability, aligning with the African continent of free trade areas. So that's our third richest person in 2025. So our fourth Namibia richest person in 2025 is other than Quinton van Rooyen. So he's valued at $25 million US dollars, and he's the founder of Trusco, which is actually a diverse group that covers financial services, insurance, real estate, and resources. So, now, Quinton Van Rooyen was born in 1965. I can't believe he's actually older than Thiem. Well, yeah. So he looked much younger than Thiem, actually. Sorry, I'm sorry to say that. So was born in 1965 in Namibia and started his professional journey in law. He started actually for his professional journey in law, graduating with LLB. However, his entrepreneurial drive led him to venture into business. So he established Trustco Group Holdings in 1992, which initially focused on providing education loans. You remember that? So education loan, but later diversified into various sectors. So under him, under Van Rooyen's leadership, Trustco has grown into a formidable conglomerate with operation in various services like financial services, offering insurance, microfinance, and banking services. So it's also other service operations, real estate, engaging in property development and housing solutions, also involved in mining, investing in diamond and mining project, investing in diamond mining project, and also in media, also involved in media, owning and managing a media's assets. So, yeah, Trustco is also listed on the Namibia Stock Exchange and Johannesburg Stock Exchange as well. So showcasing, you know, how Namibian is actually also reaching out, have also influence in a regional arena. So, yeah. Van Rooyen is recognized for his risk taking. Maybe these are characters that young entrepreneurs that need to also learn. So he's actually recognized for his risk taking, visionary strategies, which have expanded Trustco's operation and positioned it as one of the Namibia leading private companies. So he has a reputation for challenging norms and taking bold steps in business. So now he has also contributed to various philanthropic initiatives focusing on education and community development. So his business success has made him an influential figure in Namibia's economy, often shaping discourse on entrepreneurship and investment. So Quinton Van Rooyen is more than a businessman. He's a symbol of Namibia resilience and innovation. So we can see most of these giants, actually one characteristic that come through all of them is innovation, resilience and innovation. So his ability to navigate complex market and adapt to challenges has not only solidified his legacy, but also contributed significantly to Namibia's economic landscape. He is our fourth richest person in Namibia in 2025. So when we come back, who is our fifth and probably the very last one on this list?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, welcome back. We're actually looking at Namibian top five richest persons in 2025. So we looked already four of them. One is France Indongo. So you saw number one. The second was it's Brandt. Coors Brandt, and a net worth of France Indongo is a net worth of $150 million. Royce Brandt is a net worth of $80 million, and then a seven theme, our third. Who is a net worth of $70 million, and then our fourth Van Rooyen, who is a net worth of $25 million, Quinton Van Rooyen. So, yeah, and who is our last and the fifth and our finally? Finally, we have. All right, where is that? Finally, we have Christian Lilongeni Rangahankali as our fifth richest Namibian in 2025, according to billionaires.africa. So, he's worth of $10 million and is a leader in the Namibia's financial sector through First Rand Namibia. So, born October 25, 1968, he holds a BTEC in business administration from the Polytech of Namibia and a diploma in human resources management. So, Haikali is known for his leadership roles in various organizations, including his position as an independent non-executive director at First Rand, First Rand Namibia, where he was appointed in November 2005. So he has also served as a president of the Namibia Football Association, contributing significantly to sport development in the country. So Haikali hold a directorship in multiple companies, such as Prosperity Health, Africa Personnel Services, Hano Investment. This is just among others. All right. So, Haikali's contribution extends beyond business to community development, as he has been involved in corporate social responsibility initiatives through his roles in various organizations. So he's admired for his strategic vision, entrepreneurial spirit, and commitment to Namibia's progress. So as a role model for inspiring business leaders, he exemplifies the potential for economic success to drive positive social change. So, Christian Lilongeni Ranga Haikali's work extend beyond personal wealth creations. His influence in Namibia's business landscape underscores the importance of ethical entrepreneurship and a commitment to national development. So, Namibia, that's top five wealthiest individual in 2025. So in Namibia, Namibian top five wealthiest individual in 2025. So they represent more than just personal success stories. They are central figures in the narratives of our economic evolutions. So their values or their adventures in sectors like real estate, retail, agriculture, and finance, so underscore the role as architect, if you like, architect of Namibia's development. So, yeah, the conversation about wealth and influence in Namibia. So this conversation of about wealth and influence in Namibia is not just about celebrating success. So it's about envisioning how that success can become a bridge to a more equitable, you know, future for every Namibian. And we're gonna I will
need lightning fast internet. Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000. Always attend
Paratus. Well, there you have it. Those are our Namibian top five richest person in Namibia, in the country, in 2025. So, yeah. The whole idea is really to see what are their contribution, what are their contribution to the economic growth and development in Namibia. And as you have seen, so they ventures in quite a lot of, in various sectors. And also, as I said, so what we're looking at it, because Namibian citizens, Namibian nation actually support their business. Or what we're looking at is are they supporting the people that support their business? So, and can we see what we want to see is how that those success can become now a bridge to more equitable society in Namibia. So, yeah, what is your reaction? Are you surprised for this is? Well, this is coming from billionaire.africa. It could be that, you know, other, it might be other institution might have a different opinion. I don't know. So, but, you know, we just looked at that from Billionaire Africa. So, yeah, what is your take? And do you think this millionaires, I think if you put that actually in Namibian, any one of them who actually reach billionaire? I think so. Well, it's in US dollars, but if you put that in Namibian dollar, possibly maybe we have a billionaire. So, yeah. So, so what do you think? Do you think they have done enough? Do you think they supporting the communities that actually support them are doing enough in supporting the different, let's say, for example, social responsibility, as someone has put it at one point, are they doing enough really to support our communities with the wealth they have, and especially institutions that they lead? So is their institution, not maybe directly themselves, is their institution doing enough to support the marginalized community or any or various maybe sport code or any other projects and communities, whatever the case may be, just to uplift the living standard of the people that are supporting your business. So our telephone number, you can come through if you want to share on that, on the top five on top five Namibian richest people in 2025. So our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you most welcome to come through and have your comment. And what do you think? And what is your take on the story?
Omutiha with the Trocabuna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safa, Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshuana, E. ya moya wo otai ngongo tisa mweni anageshefa ya Namibia ompito ombwa nawa onjika teitha nina omayaguro ni randito mwa iwe yongeshefa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende timemeha uyu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo lengera selma kondara heta tuimu datu ndatu heari jamano tano oni aji Eagle FM
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So welcome back. And if you're just joining us, so you're in a company of Eagle FM and your number one talk radio station in town, not only in town, in a country. And you are just tuning in unpacking the day. So today we were unpacking who are Namibian top five richest people in 2025 according to billionaire.africa and how they are shaping Namibia's economy. So that's basically what we were looking at. And if you were not here at the very beginning, who are the five richest Namibians? So in 2025, the first one is Franz Alpa Indongo, so one of the visionary entrepreneur. So his estimated net worth is $150 million US dollars. So he's actually the richest Namibian, if you like. So, and and our second, he's one of the Southern African largest black-owned business, and Franz Indongo, of the Franz Indongo Group, which employ the group employs over 1,200 people. So definitely contributing significantly to those are families, you know, with people going to school, you know, accessing services, different services. So contributing job market, Namibia's job market, and economic development. So, yeah, and with a net worth of around 150 million US dollars, I think Franz Alpa Indongo is not only one of the Namibia's worth individual, but also an icon of what can be achieved through hard work, as we learn from his life. You know, perseverance, those are some of attributes that he embodied. And, as I said, willingness actually to adapt and grow. So, yeah, he's a beacon of inspiration for many aspiring, you know, entrepreneurs in Namibia and beyond Namibia as well. So there's the richest person in Namibia. So our second richest Namibian is Koos Brandt. So he's the founder of Capricorn Group. So, and he also, so is worth with a net worth of $80 million US dollar. So he remained one of Namibia's wealthiest individual. So, and yeah, and his legacy is more. He's more than a business. He's as I said earlier on, he's a trailblazer. So he's a pioneer who has really contributed to Namibia's economic transformations. So, and he's known. For his strategic foresight, commitment to empowering, especially SMEs, and also focus on regional integration. That make him one of an enduring figure in Namibia's history of the economic development. So, yeah, that's our second richest person in Namibia in 2025. And then we have Sven Sieven Thiem. So he's the chairman and the CEO of Otlahave and List. So worth with a $70 million net worth, so he actually has a $70 million US dollar net worth. So, yeah. So he has done quite. He's credited with turning around some. So one of the thing is that his leadership, the ONL group, has grown into a diversified conglomerate with interests, you know, with interests covering from food production, beverages. If you have actually drank a Windhoek Lager, definitely, you know, it's one of those, their products, farming, retail trade, property development. So, and also involved in renewable energy, marine engineering, hospitality. So, and the group, the ONL group, contribute approximately 4% to Namibia's GDP and employs, and that employs over 6,200 people. So you can see this is one of the largest private employer in the country. So, and he's credited with turning around struggling entities like Windhoek Country Club Resort and Casino, and also establishing the Development Bank of Namibia in 2004. So, yeah, and he has actually received recognition for his contribution to Namibia's business sectors, which include being awarded the most distinguished order of Namibia, first class, on Heroes Day in 2014. So yeah, so he's considered one of the most influential figures in Namibia due to his commitment to corporate governance and fostering strategic partnership. So recently, I think maybe last year or so, joint ventures between ONL group and global companies like Heineken. So, yeah. And our fourth was Quinton van Rooyen, valued at $25 million US dollars. So he's actually the founder of Trustcom. So, yeah. He's also known, he's also very much recognized as a risk-taking and visionary strategy for his risk-taking and visionary strategies, which have expanded Trustco's operation and positioned it as one of the Namibia leading private companies. So he has a reputation for challenging norms and taking bold steps in business. So yeah, Quinton van Rooyen is more than a businessman. He is a symbol of Namibian resilience and, as I said, and innovation. So because he has that ability to navigate complex markets and adapt to challenges. So yeah, So he's one, he's our fourth richest Namibian, according to a billionaire.africa. And our last and the fifth one is Christian Haikali. So Lilongeni, Christian Lilongeni Ranga Haikali, he's worth $10 million, and he's a leader in the financial sectors through First Rand Namibia. So he also served as a president of the Namibian Football Association, which shows he also contribute, and he's during his tenure contributing to sport development in the country. Yeah, so yeah, Haikali is really admired for his strategic vision, entrepreneurial spirit, and commitment to Namibia progress. So, and as a role model for aspiring business leaders, he exemplifies the potential for economic success to drive positive social change. Yeah, so that's our five, you know, top five richest person in Namibia in 2025. So, any reaction? Any comment? Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your say. And my question is, have they done enough, you know, to shorten the gap between themselves and a lot of other people that are far behind in poverty? So what is your saying? What is your comment? So our telephone number, 08333-66091.
Omutiha utekirwa kabona imatena omjo chikao shafa sana na longe shafa ya ishiwite moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongo tisamweni anage shafa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seisa nina omayaguro nirandipo mwa yoe yonge shafa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende timemeha uyu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu moambo lengera selma konara heta tuimu datu datu heari jamano tano o ambiyaj Eagle FM the high.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So,
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. Yeah, so our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 8. And we will go up to the Unpacking the Day goes up to half past 9. We're still an hour to go before we say goodbye on this program. So, yeah, let's get into some other stories that probably making some headlines as well. And there are some major, yesterday we talked about green hydrogen. We had a conversation with Jonah Musheko on our various programs. But there are some major development in our country when it comes to energy sector. Total Energies, along with NAMCO and Qatar Energy, is planning a significant offshore oil project. So with a production target of 160,000 barrels of oil per day, 160,000 barrels of oil per day. So this project promises big things, you know, but as always here on Unpacking the Day, is there more to the story? So let's unpack it and see if there is more to the story. Now, these proposed development centers around the Venus field, an offshore discovery made in 2022, located about 300 kilometers from Oranjemund, this venture will require substantial infrastructure, including drilling, storage, and gas separation facilities. So the project is expected to have a 20-year production lifespan. Only 20 years. So what happened after that? So it's expected to have a 20 years production lifespan. But before we see any oil, before we start touch and smell, you know, the oil, the construction alone will take up to 5 years. So there will be still 5 years before you smell and touch and, you know, and have your car filled up with the oil. So it's going to take about 5 years construction, 5 years of construction. So, yeah. So first, let's talk about the economic impact on this project. So this project could, you know, 20 years, within those 20 years. But what happened after 20 years? All right. So, and yeah, I think the project could potentially inject billions, you know, billion into Namibia's economy. Now, from job creation to increased government revenues through taxes and royalties. So, yeah, the prospect is exciting, you know. It's really, really, really exciting. But, as always, you know, as I said, this is Unpacking the Day. So, but we must ask, we must also ask, you know, it's like many other projects and, you know, who benefit the most? And especially when you have actually, you know, a project that predominantly, you know, multinational corporations that are actually involved. So we local communities see the tangible benefits in terms of employment and development. Employment maybe, yeah. Some people will definitely be employed. But we'll be able to see a development, you know, economic development. So the other times I wrote an article, the difference between economic growth and economic development. Economic development is about improving a living standard of people. You know, economic growth is when we see the numbers going up. So, but sometimes those numbers just go to the few people. You understand? So will the wealth flow predominantly to multinational national corporations, as it is in the case in some of the sectors when it comes to mining as well, you know? So, and how will the government ensure that revenues are reinvested to benefit all Namibians? We used to this, okay, guys? And this is not the time to play nice anymore, okay? So yes, we hear you, and I'm not actually being. I don't want you to become skepticals for no reasons, or just being just being critical for no reasons. So it's we have been through this, you know. Sometimes if we have all the officials, including the president, saying the right thing is another doing the right thing. Yeah? All right? So, and as I said, what I want you to do, it's really to be, you know, to have your, yes, trust in the process, trust in what, you know, what the new administration, what do they want to achieve and work with, you know, and cooperate and work with, but have your eyes open, wide open, because we have heard this many before. We have heard this many before, and make sure that you know, the whole idea is actually to hold whoever responsible for whatever resources, hold accountable. Not only resource, for whatever responsibility, in whatever position you are, being held responsible. You know, and I believe that the president will be the first one to hold this responsible. But the thing is that when I'm asking how will the government ensure that revenues are reinvested to benefit all Namibians, it's because are there policy changes? Do we see any policy change? Are there policy changes that would help, that would definitely change the situation from what it was yesterday, before this administration's? So those are the questions, and those are the questions that you should ask. You have a right to. So, yeah. So the Venus Field project raises some, because there are also some environmental concerns, you know, when it comes to this. So, and Venus Field project raises significant environmental questions. So the offshore drilling is known for its potential risk, oil spills being the most obvious and catastrophic. So in some part of the world, that has been really catastrophic. So Total Energy has committed to an environmental and social impact assessment. Yeah, but... And as I said, and how stringent would this process be? How stringent this process will be? So that's very, very important. So we have heard from other sectors that, you know, who was I here? Salatier? I have Salatier from the poultry industry was talking about that, well, the policies are there. I think we're talking about poultry industry on this conversation. The policies are there, just that they are not followed. Yeah, so when it comes now, and this is very important, when it comes to environment and social impact assessment, in these projects, it's going to have a lifespan of 20 years. So... If those environmental and social impact has not done properly, what can happen after 20 years? The impact, the social impact, would actually comes after maybe the project is done. So, and that's why how strict would this process be? And sometimes, because of what we're looking for, job, we want jobs and all we want this. And sometimes what you are told, because you don't have knowledge, you know, you're told, well, this is not going to be a problem. This is not going to be a problem. This is what we're going to do and all this. And you have no clue what that is. Oh, you said, well, everything is taken care of. Depending also the official within the government. So, yeah, it looks legit. Everything's, when on the paper look well and right, you know, let's go on. But do we know what is that involved? So in the end, it's our communities, our people that really would suffer from these consequences. So these are things that should we look at the short-term benefit than a long-term benefit? Yeah, so Namibia coastline is a home when we talk about now the environmental concern. So Namibia coastline is a home to sensitive ecosystem from marine life to fishing industries. So even the best intention can lead to unintended consequences. Sometimes best intention can lead to those, can lead to unintended consequences. So, and we will continue with this after this commercial break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
So welcome back, and our time is about 45 minutes past the hour of 8. Earlier on, our first item on the show was about the Namibian top 5 richest people in 2025. And what we did, we look at who they are and their net worth and their really influence, their wealth and their influence on economic growth and development in Namibia. So that's what we look at. If you were listening and you would still want actually to react on that, especially I'm asking, do you think they are doing enough, especially to, not specifically only them, but you know, we support their businesses to be as rich as they are. So, then definitely the question is, are they plowing back into the community? So there are a lot of things that I highlighted of some of the things that they, some of them actually have done and how they contribute to the economy and economic growth and development of our country. So yeah, it's up to you to judge. I just put information out there and also celebrating them. So celebrate the Namibians who have actually made it, who are successful in that way, and also building up, transforming our economic landscape in Namibia. So, yeah, if you would like to respond to that, you're most welcome. And our telephone number is 0833 081 or 0833 66 091 0833 66 091. So yeah, do come through and have your say. So and now we're looking at the this is also some development that are taking place. We have the Total Energies along with Namco and Qatar. Qatar Energy is planning a significant offshore project, oil project, with a production target of about 160,000 barrel of oil per day. And this project is promised to be really to be a big thing, as you can see, 160,000 barrel of oil per day. So that really sounds like a very big project. So what we looked at so far with what is their economic impact, as I said, definitely it would have inject billions into Namibia's economy, and definitely would create some job needed job, and also to increase government revenues through taxes and royalties. So the prospect of the project is very exciting. So, and as I said here, we also, one of the things that we look at is who benefit the most, because when projects are involved multilateral, multinational corporations, quite often the big chunk of the profit actually goes to those corporations, and Namibians left with nothing. So will we see local communities seeing tangible benefit in terms of empowerment, in terms of employment, in terms of development? So that's what we want to see. And I said, this can only change. So this only can change because I asked the question, how will the government ensure that revenues are reinvested to benefit all Namibians? And sometimes it's only when we, which also the president talked about, value addition and beneficiation of our resources. So we can only do that if there's change in policy that can definitely, and that's what we want to see. If that happens, I can say that things definitely will look up. So and the other concern is the environmental concern that we talk about. Of course, the offshore drilling is actually known for its potential risk, not only in Namibia but in other countries as well, where this is actually where similar projects are actually taking place. So the oil spill being the most obvious, and normally in those situation or in those country, in some of those country, cause really catastrophic results to the environment, to the environment ecosystem. So, yeah, it's something that we need to think seriously. And when I'm saying, they say Total Energies has committed to environmental and social impact assessment. But, you know, as I given an example earlier, that, you know, we have other industries we have policies, but those policies are not adhered to strictly. So that's why we're asking, so how stringent will this process be, you know, when it comes now to environmental and social impact assessment? Who are those who? Because sometimes when you're not well vested in the sector, even if you work in the sector, but maybe these people, the Total Energies expert, they will tell this is what's going to happen, and you believe that, and everything would be fine. There wouldn't be no catastrophic environmental catastrophe coming as a consequences of this. Yeah, so those are some of the things that we're looking at. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Michael, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
Okay, man, I'm disappointed. My name is not even in the list.
Your name is not on the list? I was wondering.
Yeah.
I think maybe in your next lifetime, man.
Yeah.
Or unless we have, you know, in South Africa, they used to have those Zama Zama ticket. I remember when I was studying up there, there was those always. We go and buy those Zama Zama tickets, and the people were winning millions. You know,
I'm telling you,
you go and play. They play in millions, and people actually won millions and millions. You know, so
yeah.
An instant millionaire. You know. Yeah,
I think very soon I'll win the betting ticket or whatever the cost.
I don't even try those things. I said, when over time I have been always playing this kind of like you meet. There's a car here. You know, can you watch
it? Yeah, you are going to win it.
You're going to win. I have done that, and I realized this is not the way for me probably to win.
Yeah,
I rather based on my hard work. You know,
exactly. That is the only way.
Yeah,
Michael. Looking at our list, Daniel.
Yeah.
It will tell you that we didn't do much.
Yeah.
When it comes to Namibia. Because if you look at the people in the list, they are all men, almost they are in the 60s, born in the 60s. It will tell you.
Yeah.
That we didn't do nothing at all. Not much.
Yeah.
We achieved. Because now, if you look, all the countries in South Africa surrounding us, the Brionella, some are in the 30s.
Exactly. In the 40s. Very much. Yeah. And then Nigerian and South African.
Yeah.
And
South African. We're talking about
the billionaires now. You know.
Billionaires, my friend.
In US dollars, you know.
Yeah. Then we are here to not even that stage. Because now we didn't do much. Even Open Domo, can hook up to. It's not even what? It's Toyota just in Namibia. Not around, not even in Angola, not even wherever.
Yeah.
And you can tell that we didn't do too much to expand our business across the border.
Mm.
We are only doing it. And remember, you know, our population is very small, the size of our population.
Yeah.
That's why you will be surprised some people out there starting in the, what? In 98, but they have become already a millionaire. It's really suspicious. Unless it was, because you can tell me, my friend, for you to make it, I hope you know, can understand because it's been the business for so long.
Yeah.
And it's expanding from all the sectors. But just somebody to make it like, from later in the past of 10 years, unless you are involved maybe in technology, I can understand. Because technology is something else which is it's faster.
Yeah. The good thing is actually when he started off, he started actually building properties, you know.
Yeah.
And normally property would become create wealth for you, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's how it's actually grow. And today, especially for us, many young you know Namibian, it's that some you don't have properties, you know. If you have property, you have one or two.
Even the friend is quite already struggling for you to get it. They are talking about the property. Come on, guys.
And how would you, you know, and sometimes, and also sometimes when you look at when ideas, certain ideas that you bring up, and this is not to it's not about discouraging, it's that the market is also, we have to think beyond Namibia. Really, to be able to become as worth, to become billionaires or to become millionaires, you know. Yeah.
Michael, this thing which I've been advocating for so long, I said no. At least we are not looking at the area where we want to. To expand business and to also for our welfare for our people. When it comes to even employment creation, when you are talking about different employment. And when you are here, people are advocating for something different. Really, we have SME Bank, which was a good initiative, even though that we, the one we land it down for that guy to get away with it, is Kamsinda. And then there's nothing, there's no accountability even to recover. And now we can try it again.
Yeah.
Thing can happen. And it happened for a reason, and you learn the reason. Next time that when you are going to establish something like that, there's a way you are going to go around it. And now, when you're looking at these things, my friend, if you go to other countries, my friend, our money is having a value. It can turn you to billionaire within 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a country living like Rwanda. It's very peaceful, and a lot of investors are going there. I'm talking about even like a country like Burundi. I'm talking about Mauritius and so on. So many But our government are squeezing us to just to stay in Namibia here. But we see this on the internet. Some of us, we never even travel outside.
Mm.
But we see the potential which is outside there, but we are not given a chance at all.
Yeah.
And you cannot get it because you are not a, your name is not known, you don't know anybody.
No, definitely not.
you see, those are things. And then you see a person who's given a tender after tender after tender, but it doesn't come up with anything.
Even those,
the shop.
Those who get tenders later on, you know, you realize they actually, you see, they're growing backwards, you know.
Exactly.
After some tenders, you don't see actually progress.
They started selling their Mercedes. Or probably come to repossess those properties. Because they are not investing anything in business. And it is a problem which I'm thinking of, that so much of us, we are having given this land to be dominating our space.
Yeah, but I think the one thing we, and maybe not majority of the people that actually went through the university who are actually owning major businesses, and the problem is this, we run our big corporate companies like our what is our kabash, our tumble
shipping.
Kukashop.
Is having a credit book.
Yeah.
We are running it like a hookah shop.
Yeah, sometimes they are not even a board of directors managing these companies, these corporations. No, individual make a decisions how the money and resources and revenues are spent. So and that's how we normally go down. You know,
that's the thing.
And we have the tendency of running that on our own, just ourselves. And even when you are not skillful in finance. And also hire people that are also not qualified for cheaper service and whatever the case may be. So we actually bring down ourselves in the way how we manage business.
We do, my brother. But I'm surprised that is our top five, eh?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that no BHD.
I know.
No BH, and also there's no Shapia investment. Come on, I think that list also is not somehow.
This is coming from billionaire.africa, so that's why I say that. Well, there might be, it might not be the but it's a very, it's a very genuine, how would I say it? They follow normally richest people in Africa and how they contribute to. They have been doing this for many years. They're quite good. Normally things like that, it look to what is available either on internet, what is public. So maybe some millionaires might not be actually have resources that are public, and you can only say what is public. Yeah.
Serious speaking, when it comes to transform of economy, you can see that this billionaire we have, or millionaire, they are not really throwing back also.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm telling you now, when you look at like Okaindo, people in the north, they are crying for even just a simple stadium.
Mm.
But it's not even coming forth.
Yeah, exactly.
And these are people who are given a chance not to convert. I mean, like, you know, we used to not to have the cars coming outside. It's even the, pop quiz, the letter pop quiz.
Mm.
Yeah, you see, these are given a chance for, how can I put it, monopoly. For the, not really a monopoly, but for just for them to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a good thing because you can't just allow anybody come from where to do the same thing which Namibia is able to do. And it is what is happening now.
Yeah.
With a lot of looming of Chinese, Indians, and you name it. Because I'm looking even these IT sectors. If you look, the people who is sent to university, they finish Now they are not even able to give a, to get a loan or anything to start with their operation or business setup. Now they are competing with the what? The Indians and the Chinese. And the, these are people who are, we know already that when it comes to technology, they are well established in their country.
Yeah, there is no way you're going to win. You're coming in the field where your market is actually dominated by a country that is actually the best in the world. You know?
Right.
You go nowhere.
You don't go anywhere. Yeah. And this the thing is what I'm saying. As a Namibian, once you say, people who, sometimes maybe you can even come up to finish you. You know, if you find the potential somewhere, there's a way to go. Because I'm looking at even the way we are doing with our uniform. Let me say like a police, defense force, prison.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be what? A government, maybe 50%, and then local business people involving, they can come also with 50%. And we produce in Namibia. Now we are talking about employment creation. Now remember, we're sending this uniform to either Indian to do it. I said they even set up here in Namibia, but they are Indian who are doing it. But these materials are very easy to buy, my friend. I was looking at it in Turkey.
Yeah.
Turkey, they are selling it all very cheap. It's the same with Nigerian.
Yeah.
You can go and get those material, then you come and turn them to uniform.
Yeah.
Very cheap price. But I don't know why our government are serious are looking in, because you're not going to grow anything when you are giving a job away to Indians. Those Indians are just going to put up the whole truck, then those people who are there in their country, and we know that there are a lot. It's the same with the Chinese.
Yeah.
They say, come to Namibia. There's an opportunity for you guys to work.
To make money, definitely.
Yeah, to make money.
And we should be able to understand our market environment and actually change the policies to suit our situation.
Very much.
Yeah. Otherwise,
for Namibia first.
Yeah, when you have these open market, policies, definitely, you're inviting everybody to come.
Exactly.
Well, it may be good to the consumers, but it's a problem to your entrepreneurs.
Even to consumers, it will be just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Because in the long run, they are not even going to be able to afford it because the money is not circulating in the economy.
Yeah. That's the
thing. It's been taken away. Yeah. And we don't think about that. That's the problem I think we have in Namibia. You remember the other time when I was angry with the former minister of what? Sport. Turning down the Kamateke not to find what? 5 billion or something.
Yeah.
To turn away the African Cup. Saying like, no, guys, this was our opportunity for Namibia.
Yeah.
You don't follow the opportunity like that at all. Because you are looking at the people who are going to benefit at the end of the day. We have people who are crying with a guest house, hotel, you name it.
At this point in time that a country like Namibia doesn't have a stadium that is at a level of international level.
Exactly. And they are following away this opportunity you are supposed to get.
Oh my God.
Even money for you to come and build your, fix your stadium to be proper. I say, if you can say stadium. But you are throwing it away like that. It's what I'm saying. Sometimes our leaders, the way they do things, sometimes they need to come to public. Let us have public lecture every time where something is going to be done. Not even for you, decide. And they decide to throw away that African Cup. And now there's money already spending, 4 million.
Yeah.
And how they are going to recover that 4 million now? Which was wasted for something with... It didn't materialize.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That at this point in time, as Namibian, we shouldn't be just celebrating at any nice word said by either a politician or an official, because we have heard this many times. So we want to see things happening, and we should be at the position now where we really take accountability for ourselves and for the for our leaders as well.
Because the way I'm looking at in our country, the way we do things is like we are jealous of the next generation.
Yeah,
we want to finish up everything in our time.
It's not actually jealous. It's not jealousy. It's just there's not that visionary. You know, we lack that visionary kind of a leader who sees. Even we put up a visionary visions, a visionary project and things like that in 2030 or whatever, 2062 or what. So
Agenda 62.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's a joke of the day. I will never Agenda 63. We know, even me, myself, I know. Maybe if I reach it there, I will be already like in the line of the thing. Then you are thinking about it now.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need at least a short term, which you can, then we have a long vision. Then, at least, if we see this one is addressing the what is onward, working onward, vision 2030.
No, we have those things. We have those things. They are there. You have all the Harambe prosperities. We have all the NDPs.
We didn't even know when we finished. I heard that we jumped to Harambe 4, Harambe 3, but I don't know when we finished even the one, number one.
As actually, and you're actually asking yourself, okay, what has Harambe number one did?
And
now to move to Harambe number two, what is the difference?
That's
good, my friend. Yeah.
Okay, quickly, Michael, let me start because I know maybe some caller want to call. Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Then come to oil.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing that at least now they are starting engaging like a Okata.
Yeah.
Because I'm always advocating. I say, no, let us go to the people who see that they are doing well.
Mm.
Not to go to Nigeria or Ghana. We know they are not really doing good when it comes to this early advice.
Yeah.
It's better to go to the people who think that they are having people benefiting in their white oil. Because if you go to Okata today, you see the kids who are not yet born, they are having 100,000.
Mm.
Once is just born in your capital hospital, it's already 100,000 for her or him. So this is a thing which we also want to be advocating in Namibia.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to our fish. My friend, every Namibia is about to have even 10,000 on that quota, which are going to be given away. Total. It's a good thing that they are coming on board also. Because now, remember, last time we are advocating Shell and so on, and you know, always say Shell, if you go there to the history, it's too much to tell. It's the same of us we thought about it, at least, me, I'm happy at least that people who are coming on board to advocate the people who we see that they are having a potential. Because if you look at the total now, they are even giving some funds for people to engage. But I don't know how far with the Namibian people, because I never see so much they done in Namibia. But across African country, I see some people are benefiting, especially the South African. They've been benefiting for total so long.
Yeah.
And I think if they're coming to Namibia, it's a hard time also to do the same.
Yeah, no, as I said earlier, so we need to see policies change, you know. That's only, otherwise you still have actually companies that are involved in, let's say, in our minings, and what do we get from those? Absolutely nothing. And sometimes that has to do with policy, you know. And unless we have you actually change, this company will just see this as our loopholes and come just and loot our resources. And, you know, like this one, it's the lifespan is about 20 years. So what happened is that they can just, you know, loot that resources,
and they go.
And in 20 years they close and they go, you know.
Yeah, then you are left with what those odds or thing which affecting your people in the future.
Exactly.
And it is what happened with what Bitogold. They took out their cross with their dog, but I'm telling you, they leave us with nothing. Not even a primary, I mean, a kindergarten.
You see?
Then you are here saying, no, there used to be a big so-called, the people would be like, what they did then? Because we remember that there was a Samaritan, what, Tumeb, but you can see how Tumeb is set up, even the secondary schools, or there's even a hospital and so on.
Yeah.
What is one they did? Nothing.
So those are things that we, last time we actually, the other day I talked to, when I talked to Jonah Musheko in terms of their green hydrogen and this high iron, you know, plant.
Yeah.
So, which actually, would we see any development within the community around this project?
Those projects, yeah.
That's the first thing that you need to see, whether the...
Exactly.
The project is actually contributing to a well-being of our community and economy. So it's the standard of living of the people that where the project is.
I'm telling you.
So we used the difference the model that was used, for example, it was like Orange or Orangemond.
Orangemond, yeah.
Yeah. That was the model because where there was a lot of schools they don't pay, they go to so hospital for free, there was you have a house that belonged to a company, you know, you understand?
Yeah. Okay?
That's how that was the model you can see that could have actually been replicated in every you know, business that every mining or whatever oil project or whatever the case may be, that the community where that is actually the project is, it should make, there should be a really difference in terms of yeah.
I'm telling you, Mike, people need just to benefit in their what, in their resource. Look, we have a, what you call, community conservancy or whatever you call it. Mm. I think it's like that.
Yeah.
But why these people, they got anything?
Yeah.
Because once you steal that animal, my friend, you are going to be locked up for more than 20 years. But the police, they come there even to do what? Trophy hunting.
Yeah.
And the meat is even to be taken away. They will tell you, brah, brah, is going to the police, what? Prison and so on. But your own people who are looking after that animal, they got nothing at all. They don't receive anything. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they will tell you that fund is going, but you can see even there's a lack of school. If you go to the here around like from Khorotob to Drodabsa, that side, to all those places there, my friend, they are having a conservancy. But I'm telling you, the poor people who are so poor, they cannot even send their kids to school.
Yeah.
And tomorrow we are complaining. We say, no, why are these other people around in the street? Who's doing it?
All right,
and
they
become vulnerable. It's us.
Yeah. So
we are sitting on the office.
There could be someone who want to come through as well. So
yeah. Thank you, man.
Anna, thank you for coming through.
Okay, sure.
All right. Yeah. So our time, it's about 16 minutes past the hour of 9, and we still have about 14 to 13 minutes before we come to the end of our, you know. Yeah, we have been looking at our second story was actually looking at the new development, a major development in our country in terms of when it comes to energy sectors, and yeah, and we actually look at the impact, the economic promise that some of these projects actually promise, and also we were discussing about the environmental concern, and we also looked at that, and with this project, the public engagement is a key part of this process. With meeting already scheduled in towns across the country. So, but, you know, sometimes is that when you're looking for consensus, let's, for example, meeting stakeholders, you're meeting now the meetings, how much these people know? How meaningful will this engagement be? you know, let's say, for example, you come with an official that are already bought. When I'm saying bought, I'm not being money bought wise, who are already on board with the with the project, with the companies that are actually responsible for the project. So when you come to the communities, you have no idea what this is all about. And how much power do you have actually in terms of, do you have any power in terms of negotiation, or is just actually a whole question of ticking, you know, box ticking exercise? So are these consultations genuine opportunities for public to voice their concern? And unless they have, they know a similar situation to compare, they wouldn't even know the kind of concern to raise. You understand? So are these consultations are generally opportunities for public to voice their concern and influence decision? Would they be able to influence decision, or they are just, or this is just actually a box ticking, so a kind of box ticking exercise? So in most cases, it's the case. Yeah, that's the case. So, and this is a question for all of us as citizens. How can we ensure our voices are heard in matters that affect our environment and economy? So how can we ensure our voices are heard? So in those matters that affect our environment and economy. So it's not just about yes, you know. Yes. It hasn't taken us anywhere. Yes, man. It hasn't taken us anywhere. So it's about to have now those voice heard, our voice heard. Okay? And this is one of the platforms to create that awareness and consciousness. All right. So now the Total Energies has also emphasized its commitment to decommissioning the site responsibly after the 20 years production period. So once the production period is actually done, they emphasize that it's their commitment to decommissioning the site responsibly. So whatever that responsibly mean. So now this includes restoring the site as close to its natural state as possible. So that's not possible. So I can tell you, while this sounds promising, history has shown as that decommissioning is really straightforward. Okay, it's honestly really straightforward. With their commitment be now, because you have to know, will this commitment be legally enforceable? Will that be legally enforceable? Because all what they can do after 20 years, you know, they can just patch up there and whatever and then go. What happened? Once they are gone, what would you do? You know? And how will the company address a socioeconomic disruption when the oil wells run dry? So now, how will they address that? So probably that's also within their, in their proposals, but, you know, and I said, things on paper is not as actual, situations. So finally, let's step back and look at the bigger picture. So, Namibia is really at the crossroad, if you like. So projects like Venus Field can bring tremendous growth. They can bring a really tremendous, but they also come with significant, risk. And when we engage these things here, it's also to awaken our mind. All right, it's to awaken our mind and also the community where these projects are happening to say, you know, these are the things that you need to look at. So these are the concern. These are the risk. These are risk factors that you need to pay attention to. So yeah. So because what kind of legacy do we want to leave for our future generations? How do we balance now? Because the reason I'm asking this is, how do we balance economic ambition with environment stewardship? Because we have that responsibility. If, say, for example, after 20 years, the production, you know, comes to an end, and then the environment is left in a catastrophic conditions, that's on us. Because then we rob our future generations of good health. Maybe it could be something that is impact on their health. It could be also something that impact on the the environmental ecosystem, which then may have disrupt other lives, you know. So. That's why I ask. I said, what kind of a legacy do we want to leave for future generations? Sometimes we may just look at the short term benefits because of the situation we find ourselves. We have so many people without jobs. This is the opportunity, but then in the long term, this gonna be very catastrophic. So then, how do we balance this economic ambitions with environmental stewardship? Because we have a responsibility as stewards for our environment. So how can we, as a nation, hold corporations, like Total Energies and Qatar Energies and what, and our leader, for that matter, accountable for actually they should be delivering a sustainable benefit. You know, how do we hold them accountable? All this accountable for delivering a sustainable benefit. It should be sustainable. So, yeah, this is not just a story about oil. It's a story about our future. So as we engage with this issue, so let's ask tough questions and demand a transparency at every step. So that's what we need to. We need to demand that transparency at every step of the way. So, all right. So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number again, 08333 66091 08333 66091. So to come through and have your we still have about 4 to 5 minutes before we come to the end of the show. So come through and have your say or your reaction on these two items.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kabona imatena omjo. Shikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo. Thank
Cara, un cuachi freki, huimo po, yo mo el programa de tu. Moambo, lengera selma, con aras de tatuimu. Datu, datu, geari jamanon tano, o andiach. Eagle FM, go ahead.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the app.
All right. Welcome back. So our time is 20, it's actually half past nine. That brings us to the end of our Unpacking the Day today. So join us tomorrow again at the same time here on your favorite station, Eagle FM. So my name is Michael Chevalli. Until tomorrow, please do continue to listen to our programs that are coming up, and coming up now is Mind the Gap with Helmut. From me, Michael Chevalli, it's a goodbye.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongo tisamweni anage shifa ya Namibia ompitombwa na wa onjika teitha nina omayaguro nilanditoma iye longe shifa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga nina Para un pasito para aquí, huimos por un nuevo programa de tu. Moambo, lengera selma, con horas de tatuimos. Datunda tu, geari jamano tano, o andiaj. Eagle FM, go ahead.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Onthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's